chapter 6, but there's a lot of material in chapter 6. If you recall, we have here at the latter part of the Revelation, it's split into three parts, things that were, things that are, and things that are to come. We're now in the latter part, things that are to come. The rapture has occurred. That occurred in chapter 4. Okay, and we're now before God, and he has in his hand a scroll, a book, okay, and it has seven seals on it, and they can't find anyone to open this scroll. And thus comes Jesus Christ, the slain lamb, who's still standing, by the way. And he comes and is presented with this scroll, okay, what he purchased on Calvary, if you will. And so he has a scroll, and each seal on the scroll represents one of the judgments that's going to occur. Okay, these are the seven seal judgments that are going to unfold on earth. And that begins in chapter 6. Each breaking of a seal releases a judgment. And we have, of course, this first seal. We have the appearance of the Antichrist coming. And if you will, the first seal, I believe, in my opinion, occurs for 3.5 years. Because that's whenever the Antichrist first comes. That's whenever peace takes over the earth. I believe it's going to be peace unlike any time before. I think that nations will unite. They're going to have a universal currency. It's going to be a time whenever people think, wow, now that these Christians are out of here, we're going to have a good old time here. Because remember, we're out of here where the rapture occurred. That's whenever the peace is going to take over. Okay, but they're going to realize after the end of that 3.5 years that it was just the eye of the storm.
You're right.
Because always in the eye of the storm is peace unlike any other time.
Right.
And whenever the latter 3.5 years occurs, it's going to be torment unlike anything this earth has ever seen. And, of course, that begins with the second seal. We have here on the second seal, it's a horse of war, the red horse appearing. And I shared with you that there's two different types of swords. The one sword, okay, the Machaira, okay, that type of sword is an assassin's dagger. Okay, and the type of sword that we have here whenever the war breaks out, this is the battle sword. This is the one that, whoosh, okay, yes, that attacks and kills. And that's what we're seeing here. And then, of course, on the third seal, we have that black horse appearing. That was the black horse of famine. And I share with you how for a day's wages, they would only be able to buy a piece of bread, if you will. People will be starving. We shared last week how in Russia, I think it was under Stalin, how whenever they were blockaded, a certain town was blockaded for months and they had no food, no water. They turned to eating the animals and even to their own children. Well, whenever you're hungry, you do things that aren't natural. And that's going to happen here whenever this famine breaks out. We don't understand what a famine is in this country. We may have gone through a few days without eating, for if we're busy or something, we just haven't had a chance to pop over at McDonald's. But for whatever reason, this country is blessed beyond measure, and we don't understand a famine. We really don't. And, of course, we had the fourth horse coming, the fourth seal broken, and this horse brought death. And it says here in the Bible in chapter 6 and verse 8 that a fourth of the earth was killed. Now, I've heard people say that means something else or that there's an interpretation of this. Let it say what it says, one-fourth of the earth is killed. I shared last week that I'm sure this has changed. Last week, I went on population.com or something, and their current population, 6,636,320,964.5. That's the current population as of last week, okay? I guess they count Liz, okay? I'm just kidding. Don't tell her I said that. That's a fourth of that is 1.7 billion people. Okay, that's the population of the United States. That's the population of China and the population of Canada combined. 1.7 billion people if this occurred right now. Of course, the population is going to continue growing. Could you imagine, though, all those people dying? And that's what it says here. Well, Brother Josh, I don't think that's possible. I don't care what you believe or not. That's what the Bible says. And I'm going to side with the Bible. The Bible says a fourth of the population will die. And that's what's going to happen. It always comes to pass. Okay, this will occur. We're not reading fantasy here. We're not reading storytell. This is not some Dr. Seuss novel. This is the Bible, and this is the truth, and this is what will occur. You're reading the future before it unfolds here, if you will. And then, of course, we have the fifth seal broken, and these are the martyrs, people who die for the cause of Christ. And I was studying this, and I thought, well, these are people maybe from times past that have died, or have maybe the Apostle Paul, for example, or other folks who have died for the name of Christ. But if you will, what does he see here? He says in verse 9, and we'll read the scripture here in just a moment. In verse 9, whenever the fifth seal was opened, he saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. Well, if this were people who have died before the rapture, he wouldn't be seeing souls. He would be seeing glorified bodies. Because when the rapture occurs, we're going to receive glorified bodies. I believe these are people who have died during the tribulation period, after the rapture, folks who were saved during the tribulation period, who died for the sake of Christ. And there will be a lot. Because he's seeing their soul. And what are these souls saying? How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? What do they want? They want their glorified bodies too. How long is this going to be, O Lord? How long must we wait? When will you avenge us? And what do they have? It says here, and white robes were given to them in verse 11, unto every one of them, and it was said unto them, that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. There will be a lot of people dying during the tribulation period. There are the 7 years on this earth who are martyrs for Christ, those who receive the gospel, who are saved, and are trying to spread the gospel. They will see persecution unlike any other time. Because now at the throne of this earth will be the Antichrist. I had somebody say once, well, it doesn't matter. God's still in charge of this earth, or God still sits on the throne of this earth. God does not sit on the throne of this earth. This earth is Satan's. He sits at the throne of this earth. Okay, Christ will not sit on the throne until the millennial reign. The king of this earth right now is Satan. That's right. Yes, he is. Okay, the one who controls this earth and all the evils in it. Don't attribute all these evils to Jesus Christ. Right. A lot of people say, well, why would God allow this to happen to me? Or why would God allow this to happen to that person? I have a friend once who, almost like a father to her, it was a neighbor, but he got cancer and she blamed God. And why would God allow this to happen to such a good man? Why would he allow this? I think sometimes we forget we're not good. Why would God allow good things to happen to such a bad person is what we should be asking. Because remember, we're all just sinners. We're just saved by grace.
Right.
Why don't we say every time something good happens, why would you allow this good thing to happen to me, God?
Amen.
Why do we go around always saying the opposite, I wonder? Why do we say, well, I'm such a good person. Why would God do this to me? We should reverse it sometimes. Why does God allow us to breathe right this moment?
Right.
Thank you for that breath, God.
Amen. That's good.
You know, I think sometimes it would help us if he would just take the air out for just a little bit. I think we need to start realizing our place in the grand scheme of things. Okay, we are just sinners saved by grace. So here's these martyrs who have died in the fifth seal. And then we have here the sixth seal being opened. And this is where I think we left off last week. We have here in verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. They rejected the rock of ages, now they're hiding in the rocks of this earth. And said to the mountain and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I think that's where we left off last week. We have the sixth seal being broken, and look what is occurring here. Mighty earthquakes. It says there in verse 14, every mountain and island were moved out of their places. I don't believe it, some may say. Well, the God who created those mountains and the God who created those islands can surely move them a little bit.
Amen.
And they will move. That's what it says here. We have a great earthquake. A lot of this has already happened. The sun became black as sackcloth, it said. Back in May of 1780, the sun became black as night. Check it out. It's recorded in history. It has happened before. Okay, only this hasn't all happened together at one great magnitude like it will occur whenever this judgment happens. This occurred back in 1780, and it was just in that one day, utter chaos broke loose. It was described, I was reading it, people didn't know what was occurring, they didn't know what was happening. Could you imagine, though, 12 o'clock, you're out driving to the grocery store, and all of a sudden, blackness. I mean, I think that would scare me.
Yeah.
And here we have all of this occurring, the sun turning black, earthquakes, stars of heaven falling to the earth. Yeah, I think they're going to have a news story on CNN, don't you? I think this is going to, I don't think they're going to know what's hitting them. They're just going to know that, I think, that, as it says here in verse 17, the great day of wrath has come, and that's what is occurring. And like I said before, they will try to hide from the God who is judging them, but the time has already escaped. As it says, who shall be able to stand? No one. No one will be able to stand for during this moment. There's going to be people who say today that, well, surely after all of this, I'll receive Christ then. I'll wait. I mean, if all this really happens, I'll accept Christ as my Savior. No, you won't. And it says in 2 Thessalonians, is it 2:10?
Yes.
Chapter 2, verse 10?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You won't. If you're sitting here under the sound of my voice this morning, and you're hearing the gospel preached to you, whenever this occurs, if you've already heard the gospel of Christ, you won't. It's too late. Your time has passed. You will fall for a delusion.
Amen, Brother Josh. That's a great point. Anyone that can be saved right now before the rapture, if they don't get saved before the rapture, they will not get saved after the rapture.
That's right.
Right. Why don't you read that scripture to them, Josh?
Yes, sir.
Second
Thessalonians.
That's why people need to get saved now.
Because it's not on our terms that we get saved, by the way. It's on God's terms, and God's terms are right now. A lot of people, they try to put salvation to a bottle and analyze it. It's not at your timing. It's whenever the Holy Spirit moves upon your heart and whenever the Holy Spirit convicts you. Because remember, you don't do the saving. So over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe it's in verse 10. In verse 11, we'll start there. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Mark it down, you will fall for a lie. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they receive not the truth of the love, the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Yeah.
Mark it down. If you hear the gospel, if you had a chance to get saved and you rejected it, you will not get saved during the tribulation period. Yes, there will be people who are saved during the tribulation period. I just read a proof of it right there in chapter 6. There will be martyrs for Christ. A lot of people will be saved during the tribulation period. But those who reject Christ now, those who say, I don't have no time for God, I don't have no time for Christ, I'm not going to take the steps and come to this altar to accept Christ, or I'm not going to deal with what God's working in my heart, those who reject Christ, they will go through the tribulation period, and they will be damned to hell. It's right here in the scripture.
Yes.
The time for salvation is now.
Amen.
It's not on your terms. It's on God's terms.
Amen.
So don't think that, well, if this really happens, this is hard for me to accept. If this really happens, I'll accept Christ. That you won't. You'll fall for the lie.
That's right.
So let's keep going. Now we'll go into. So we have here that sixth seal is broken. This wrath is pouring onto the earth. And like any time, the earth is shaking. There's stars falling from heaven into the earth. We have here mountains and islands being displaced. If you recall, already a fourth of the population is destroyed. We now have a maniac who is in control, the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And all hell is breaking loose on this earth. Yes, it's probably Bill Clinton's cousin. Okay, or it could be one of our presidential candidates. I won't say who. Okay, there's one.
But,
this isn't tape. Erase that. Okay. But I'm not going to get political, but I was excited about the Iowa thing. That was pretty. I'm not endorsing anybody. I don't know. Well, I'm not the preacher. I guess I can do that. Vote Huckabee. But I was excited about that because he's an upright man, and I was excited about it. I wasn't excited about the Democratic thing, but we'll get back to Scripture here.
Amen.
Okay, chapter 7. So here we have this this parenthetic in the middle of this of the Revelation. Chapter 7 is talking about those who are saved during the tribulation. These are the ones who have not heard the gospel preached before the rapture. These are the ones who are saved.
Right.
We know at least 144,000. Well, these are going to be the children of the tribes of Israel.
Yep.
Okay, this is not Jehovah's Witnesses.
Amen.
Okay, this is not. And by the way, that number and their Bible, that's in quotes. It's not even the Bible. The one they have. That number changes all the time.
Right.
Every year, whenever they run their records, okay, we have. Theirs probably says the 327,229 children of Israel. Okay, they put that number, whatever, however many members they have, okay? That number changes all the time. I always ask the Jehovah's Witnesses, well, what tribe are you in? Okay, because this is the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what it's talking about here. These are the ones who will, the Jews that will be protected during the tribulation period who will spread the gospel. This is when that spiritual blindness is lifted off of Israel, whenever they see Jesus Christ as the true Messiah. And so here are these 144,000. Okay, these are from the 12 tribes, like I said. And there's also going to be a great multitude, as it says in verse 9, of Gentiles. Okay, who's a Gentile? This person is not a Jew. Okay, these are the Gentiles that will be saved during the tribulation period. It
you're
says,
not a Jew, you're a Gentile.
That's right. And it says here in verse 9, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. Do we have a number? No, it's a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, I like to think about that white robe when Adam and Eve, they had to kill an innocent lamb to get those robes. An innocent lamb had to die for us to get those white robes that we have on. And it says here in verse 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth under the throne, and unto the Lamb. Can you just picture this scene? People who, those folks who are here, those souls that are under the altar, as we read in chapter 6, what a magnificent feeling it must be. I mean, words kind of begin to describe it, how they're standing in heaven, avoiding the tribulation, avoiding hell, okay, before the one who saved them, Jesus Christ, right there on the throne. And we will be rejoicing. We will. I think it says in that we'll be singing a song that the angels cannot sing.
Yeah.
We'll be singing redemption's sweet story. So here we are standing before the throne. And chapter 7 continues. For time's sake, I'm just letting you know it's talking about those who are saved during the tribulation period. We go on to chapter 8. We're speeding along here for time's sake. Chapter 8. Okay. So we have here chapter 6, the six seals or the seven seals. We have six of them in chapter 6. Chapter 7, these are people who were saved during the tribulation. So if you put it into a timeline, rapture happened in chapter 4. Chapter 5, we're standing before God in the throne room. Scrolls handed God has a scroll in his hand. No one was found worthy to open it except for Jesus Christ, the slain lamb who still stands. And in chapter 6, we have the seals being broken on the scroll. Okay, each seal represents a judgment. Every time a seal is broken, a judgment is unleashed. And here in chapter 7, we have talking about the children of Israel, the 144,000, and we're having we're saying who will be saved during the tribulation period. Of course, as I said, if you heard the gospel, you will not be. Chapter 8, now we get into
chapter 6, as you brought out a few weeks ago, Josh, the rider in chapter 6 on the white horse is not Christ.
It's the Antichrist, the mocker of the Christ.
Right.
So here in chapter 8, we have the seventh seal being opened. Now, on these judgments, as you go along each judgment, they get progressively worse and worse and in a greater magnitude, and you'll see that. But in the seventh seal, within the seventh seal, it contains the seven trumpet judgments. That seventh seal unleashes the next round of judgments that will unfold on the earth. So now we have that seventh seal ready to be broken. Now, I want to do an illustration here. It says, let's read in verse 1 of chapter 8, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. No, we're not going to do this for half an hour, but I want to do this for a demonstration. We're going to be singing and rejoicing and praising God unlike any other time before, because we're in heaven. We realize what an awful state we were in, okay, sinners, okay, damned to a hell. But because of what Christ did, because of he purchased us on Calvary, okay, purchased our redemption, we are here now, and we will be praising and singing and rejoicing unlike any other time. We all know the song Victory in Jesus, right? Does anyone ever know that? Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to do this for an illustration. I want you to understand how loud the silence will be. What do you mean, how loud silence will be? Just watch. Do this with me, okay? Let's start on the chorus of Victory in Jesus. Okay, we're going to sing that. My Savior forever, he sought me and bought me, okay? Only we're going to, Victory in Jesus. Let's get a hymn book. I don't want to mess this up. What is it, page 116? This is just a quick demonstration. I was singing it all the way here this morning, but 116, I got the page number right. Page 116, just on that chorus. If you want to grab, a lot of you are smarter than I am, you have this memorized, okay? On the chorus, I want you to stop singing when we get to the chorus about bought me with his redeeming blood. Not a peep, not a word. Everybody just stop right there. As soon as you say blood, I want you to see how loud that's going to be. Because this is what we're going to be singing, oh, victory in Jesus. You know, we're going to be singing a song that the angels cannot sing. So let's sing on that chorus. Miss Debbie's not here today. I was going to have her playing. That's all right. Anybody else want to play the piano? No? Okay. All right, let's just sing. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Isn't that amazing? You see how loud that silence was? Because you want to get going. You want to keep going. You want to keep singing. That song gets you excited, doesn't it? It's not like these rock and roll rap songs today that, okay, this is an exciting song. This is the stuff here. If this can't lift you up, you need to go have a checkup, you know? Okay? But did you see how loud that silence was? Whew. For half an hour, heaven will be silent. I think something serious is about to happen. I think something really of a nature we've never seen before is about to unfold. And surely that's what will happen when the seventh seal is broken. Silence will sweep heaven for the span of half an hour. And then you get the folks who say, well, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Well, what does it mean? That's what it says. Amen. Are you trying to say you have another book that you're claiming to be inspired? Because the inspired book says here, right there, heaven, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Oh, that King James, half an hour. That we don't use that. Hello. Okay.
Yeah,
man. Okay, so right there, verse 1, half an hour. Heaven is silent. The seventh seal is about ready to be broken. Okay, and silence fell over heaven. And we go on in verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now, I like to believe that these angels, that's been their sole purpose. They're just standing there. They have those trumpets there ready to blow them for all eternity. That's been their assignment. That's what their job has been given to them. And they're just waiting for that day whenever God says, blow those trumpets. Just like the angel that will usher the rapture in. Okay, that is just standing ready to blow that trumpet. And so here we have, and to them were given seven trumpets, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given to him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. Who's that? Have you prayed? Your prayer is going to be in that. With the prayers of all the saints under the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And watch this now. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So here we have the prayers of all the saints, the prayers of all those people who said, Lord, thy kingdom come. Lord, take us out of this world. Lord, rapture us out, Lord. Lord, we pray for so-and-so. Lord, we pray for this. All the prayers of the saints. It's interesting to note that your prayers are recorded. It's interesting to note that God hears your prayers.
Yeah.
Unlike the NIV Teen Study Bible, it says, it defines prayer, and you can check this out, I'm not lying to you, the NIV Teen Study Bible, that defines prayer as talking to the ceiling, hoping somebody is listening.
Wow.
God hears prayers. He hears your prayers. He records your prayers. So we should really take prayer more seriously, because it's a direct line to God. And here's the angels holding these prayers and casting it. It's filled with fire, casting it upon the earth. You know, it's sad. A prayer of the heart, a confession through the mouth, that folks down there who rejected Christ could have easily been up there with us. Yet they rejected the one who saved them. So here this comes down, this fire hitting the earth. And now we have, in verse 7, the blowing of the first trumpet. It says in verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Oh, boy, the greenies are going to be mad about this. They're going to be mad. There goes the grass. Well, I'm sure even in the time of the judgments, there's going to be people with signs out there, protect the grass, protect the trees. I guarantee it, they're going to be out there. They're marching for their cause whenever the cause is all lost, because they missed out the chance. They missed out on the chance of accepting the true cause. And here they we have a third part of the trees burnt. Wow. Think about that. Really think about a third of the trees of this earth. Go into your backyard. If you have a wooded forest in the backyard or whatever, just imagine a third of them gone, burnt down. Wow. Judgment is unfolding on this planet. And it says, all green grass was burned up. Wow. And we have some who interpret that as meaning different things. Let it say what it says.
Amen.
All green grass was burned up. A third of the trees were gone. Okay, then that was the first trumpet. Second trumpet Okay, and the second angel sounded, and it was a, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. What do you mean the sea is going to turn into blood? That's what it says. Let it say what it says. If God, the one who created this earth, if God, the one who created you and I, surely these things can come to pass. God said it would happen. It's going to happen. If you recall, things like this happened back in Exodus 2. And you say, well, that's not proof. That's just the Bible as an example. It's the only thing that is a sure proof in this life. Okay, you might say, well, the History Channel, is there anything recorded on there? I don't care what the History Channel says. I care what this says. This happened back in Exodus. It will happen again. Mark it down. And so here we have, it says a third of the ships were destroyed. That's not a big deal. You remember the, well, some of you may remember this, okay? When the Titanic went down, you remember of it, okay, how big that was? Whoa, headlines everywhere. Okay, they're still searching for pieces of it and excursions and, just the other day, was that the first bell, by the way?
Yes.
All right, I got some time. Okay, the other day, there was, months ago, on the internet, I was watching this video of this cruise ship. They got two, and that's not some little, okay, this is a big one, okay? This is one of those big 1,000-passenger cruise ships, and it hit some reefs or something too close to the land. And even with all the modern technology, the captain abandoned ship and declared an emergency, and that ship was going down on from the, on the starboard side. It was going down, and just the grandeur of this magnificent ship, a ship that surely no one could ever sink, and that's what they said about the Titanic, if you recall. Not even God could sink that. Well, he sunk all three of the company's ships that they had, because the company said God can't sink our ships. Well, they had no more ships because he sank all of them. But here goes this ship, and it's just, oh, I mean, it's just a powerful thing, seeing this magnificent creation of man plummeting below the ocean, never to be seen again. Can you imagine, though, one-third of all the ships in the world plummeting to the bottom of the ocean? Wow. And we have here it's also all the sea life, the third part of the creatures in the sea dying. Oh, those of you like fish, if you're not saved today, don't plan on eating any seafood, okay? You're not getting any. Okay, the third trumpet. We'll finish with the third one, then we'll pick up and fly through it next week. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell into the third part of the rivers, and upon them, that's the fresh water, by the way, upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Wormwood is a very poisonous material. It's one drink of it after it enters his waters will kill you. I did some research on it, and it's a natural poison. It is actually the most bitter substance that man knows of. And I find it interesting that they gave Christ on the cross a bitter, bitter substance to drink.
Yes.
Isn't it interesting that those who serve Christ usually receive bitterness from people? Anytime you preach the gospel, usually people are bitter about it. They're bitter towards Christ. It's kind of interesting here. Maybe it's just these people will finally receive their just desserts. Those who fed him the water or the bitter, I believe it was vinegar, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fed him and gave him vinegar to drink. Those who were bitter for the cause of Christ, and now the bitterness will be among them in the waters. They can't drink anything without getting that wormwood in it. And that will kill them, the poison. So it's just an interesting thought to think about. But if you're saved today, you don't have to worry about that. If you're saved, you'll be with Christ. And this is irrelevant to you for the fact that you won't go through it.
Amen.
But it's still relevant in the fact that you can do something for others right now.
Correct.
You have family, you have friends. Maybe somebody in here is thinking, wow, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Maybe somebody here knows a brother or a sister. I encourage you to settle it today. There's a song we sang on Wednesday night a few months ago. The old account is settled. And maybe today you know somebody who needs to settle that old account. Maybe you need to settle that account. Don't go through the tribulation. Don't go to hell. You can do something now. God's time is now. So we'll pick up next week. And I hope it's been a blessing to all of you. I know this is my favorite book of the Bible. I love all the Bible, but this is one of my favorites.
Let's have them bow their heads right now.
You're doing a great job teaching, son. I'm very proud of you. Every head bowed, every eye closed before we break. You know, this is the first Sunday of 2008. And maybe right now, Josh has told you, if you're not saved, you'll go in this great tribulation, which could start any time once the Lord comes back for us. And maybe right now you'd say, preacher, I'd like to be saved. I would like to ask Christ to save me. You'd say, preacher, would you pray that I could be saved? I don't want to go into that tribulation. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die. I don't want to go into tribulation and end up going to hell. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. Won't come to you. Won't embarrass you, but I'll pray for you. Say, would you pray for me? I'm not sure about my salvation. Pray for me. I need to get that settled. Just raise your hand and say, pray for me, and I will. Anyone at all, pray for me. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great teaching in the book of Revelation. Lord, I think Josh is doing a great job. Thank you for his preparation and study and his teaching of it. And Lord, I pray for every person here that everyone will know for sure that they're saved. And Lord, if they're not, I pray today before today's out that they would ask Christ to save them and know for a surety that they're saved and on their way to heaven. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's give Josh a great hand. He's doing a good job, Andy. Good job, son.